Anyway, I want to read a passage this morning out of Luke. It's going to be Luke 2, 8 through 20. So let me go ahead and read it. It says, "And there were shepherds living in the field nearby, keeping watch over the flocks at night. And angels of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angels, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven. Heaven and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard about it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told."
Thank you, Pastor Mike. How many times have we heard that story? How many times have we celebrated that story? I was talking to somebody this morning. It's interesting, as you come to the issue of Christmas, churches, they always look pastors. We look for, okay, how can we take that story, challenge people, make it new, make it fresh, make it something that is going to change you. Our goal is not to come every Sunday and just waste breath. Of course, His Word will never return void. That's what He says, and that's what we believe. And yet the reality is, the Word that we're hearing today, we want you to leave in some way, shape, or form changed. In some way, shape, or form challenged in your mind to at least ponder the things of God and what it might mean to you. We've just finished this last Thanksgiving, the series of giving thanks. We ended last week with many people sharing just what God had done in their lives. That the reality is my mess can become His message. Where we find ourselves, when we ask you to tell us about your life, and usually most of the time, there's some people who are a little bit narcissistic and we hear about all the good things. But then we wonder, are they really telling the truth? But for the most part, when we ask people about their lives, what do you start hearing? You start hearing, "Man, I failed at this." When you start to get below the surface, "I have insecurity here. I blew it here. I wasn't successful here." But the reality is, the messes that we find ourselves in, either because of our own design, our own stupidity, our own choices, or even if it's things that are foisted upon us, our message, my message in my life can become His message. My mess can become His message. And we all would say, great, hallelujah, isn't it? Don't we like that? That our mess, that God in His grace, amazing grace, that unmerited favor, that's not about us, nothing that we can do. Pastor Paul, myself, we've used the verse over and over, that we are His workmanship. Had a conversation in our life group, because Pastor Paul, you don't confuse him with the apostle, believe me. You know, talking about messes, right, Paul? Yeah. However, and by that I mean the apostle Paul said he was the chiefest of them. He had y'all hands down. But when talking about that, Pastor Paul used the word that you are God's masterpiece. We talked about that in life because we were talking about that. And someone said, "I didn't raise my hand when Paul said, 'Do you believe you're God's masterpiece?'" It's just, you know, oh man. And yet you are, in essence, the word means His masterwork. His masterwork. The promise of what He's building in us and through us. Now folks, if my mess can become His message, what does that make us? Think about it. As we come to Christmas especially, my mess to become His message. The reality is, when He has changed our lives and when He has said, "I want you to taste of this grace," the point of that is my mess becomes His message in my life. But guess what? It also makes me His messenger. I am to be His messenger. He doesn't just give us these lessons and give us this message in our life to keep to ourselves. We are to proclaim, and it's not that we are perfect. It's not that, yeah, look, well, man, God's pretty good to have me, or da da da. It is the course of our life that says, my mess that I found myself in, the mess of sin, the mess of failure, the mess of insecurity, the mess of feeling like I'm never valued or my esteem is shot. He says, listen, your mess can become the message of your life that I've changed you, I value you, I give you significance. Go back again and listen to the message of being in Christ. What does it mean to be totally changed? To be totally new. What changed in your life? Boy, I tell you, we had a great life group this last week because I asked the question, when you say, what's new in your life? What did He change? He may not have changed your house, your car. What He changed within us is He changed the nature, His very nature. He placed His Spirit of God within us. But within that, He says, we have that so that we may share it abroad. We have become His messenger. The best made plans... How many of you already have all your Christmas shopping done? Raise your hand. Why are you laughing that way? I assume you don't have your Christmas shopping done. How many of you haven't even started? Raise your hand. How many of you, your only shopping is going to be gift cards? Yeah, there we go. Okay. That's where it is. We get those real personal gifts, don't we? That's me. You look, I was in the mall, this last week, looking in the mall thinking, and there's this big kiosk. And I mean, I got every card in the world right there. I'm thinking, this is shopping in all in one spot. It's right there. I can just flip the kiosk up and boom, there it goes. You know, wait, they don't have one for $2.50. What am I going to do? You know, I mean, the reality is. But we do all that. The mess made plan. Some of you are OC, man. Some of you have got your, man, for Thanksgiving, you had a down table set. You probably already have your Christmas stuff out. Your china's washed. You got all the things done. Me too. My paper plates, dinette china right there. You know, it's all set. But some people have such best-made plans. Some of you are OC about everything. I got to have the house clean. Some of you get to the point where you're worried about people coming because, okay, did I clean the shower curtain? Did I do, you know, all the different things? The best-made plan sometimes. Listen, if somebody came to you and said a royal is going to be born, royalty is going to be born, and you've been asked to make all the arrangements, all the preparations, where would you start? I mean, if you really thought about that, if you put your mind's eye right now and said, okay, wow, I have this job. Where would you start? Your mind would just go, okay, all these things. What's the best hospital? Who has the best NIC unit? All the different things. I talk to our nurses that we have here. We got some that work in the NIC unit. I want to find out, boy, if anything happens, all the machines that have to be ready. I want to find the best team of doctors. Because the royalty is going to be born. I want to find the best situation if anything were to happen. All of these things. Who's going to handle the complications? Who would be the first? Now, let's say if it's a royalty. Who's going to be the first to get pictures? Are we going to have a photographer do the the pre-birth and then at the birth, which and then post-birth? Who's going to, yeah, I know. Who's going to, I know that's a fad right now. Okay. Anyway, we'll pass that point. But who's going to be the first to get these pictures? Who's going to be the first one going to see? And who's going to be the first visitors that are going to come through that we're going to let through the door? You know, like, you know, you're going to get on the, these are the first visitors we get. And we'd probably, in some sense, we'd look at the beautiful people and say, well, we want somebody with, you know, that has a recognizable face to be able to be the first people who are going to come and visit. We're going to be the first people. And the pictures, where do we go from there? We celebrate the birth of the Savior this time of year. That's obviously what we should celebrate it all along. But do you realize all the decisions that I just said, in some way, shape, or form, though culturally relevant, had to be made. Those same decisions had to be made, and they were made by God. Every one of them. Obviously, our choices and God's choices would be different, wouldn't they not? Man, we'd have everything. This was the King of Kings, folks. The Lord of Lords, God's Son, Emmanuel, God with us. Fully God, fully man, coming in the form of a babe. This would be the biggest event in all of human history. It would change history, and more than that, it would change our lives. Yet listen, the biggest event in history, the mayor didn't know it, of Bethlehem. He didn't know it was coming. The governor of the land, Herod Caesar, he didn't know it. The palace didn't have any word of it. The temple didn't even know it. The religious leaders didn't know it. Even though it had been prophesied, they didn't know it exactly then. Jerusalem was entirely left out of the loop. None of the beautiful people were called to say, be on attendance. We want to get your mug so we can have you on the cover of our people, you know, first people to visit. Instead, it went to the most unlikely group. It went to the messy messengers. The messy messengers. God reached down and said, my child's going to be born. My son's going to be born. Mary, guess what? But I'm going to give the birth announcement to people who are really, really messengers. That are messy. Their lives are messy. And you wouldn't invite them to dinner. You wouldn't have them in the temple because they couldn't go in the temple. We know them as shepherds. We have this idea of our shepherds, you know, the mind of the shepherds. Oh boy, those guys. Listen, the issue of a shepherd, that's some cultural facts about their shepherds. The job was dangerous. The job was very dangerous. And the job was difficult. We have this idea of sweet little sheep, you know, all fluffy white wool, just sitting right there, you know, and all, or the lambs that you would on your slippers, you know, like, oh, I can see my slippers, got little lambs on them like that. That wasn't the sheep at all. They were dirty, nasty. They had all kinds of stuff in their wool. And the shepherds, in the same way, they were to protect this flock. They were protecting from wolves. They were protecting from animals that would want to destroy them. Protecting from thieves that were wanting to steal their animals. They had to provide for their flock. They had to, and yet the shepherds themselves had no status in their culture. They had no status in their society. Quite frankly, there wasn't much hope for advancement. Maybe a larger flock, but that's about where you're going to get. The ceiling had pretty well hit when you were a shepherd. They didn't have a shepherd's union and said, let's fight for more. They were outsiders. They were smelly. They were messy. They were dirty. In many cities, they couldn't even go in. They couldn't even go into the city. They were considered outsiders. They were considered ceremonially unclean. Couldn't take part in the ceremonies of the temple. They couldn't even give testimony in legal proceedings. Even if they saw something, they couldn't give testimony in it because people assumed that they were thieves and they were lying. Their life was usually pretty boring. Much the same day after day, tenuous and boring. A number of years ago, there was a musical called Child of the Promise. It was written by the Omardians. And the shepherds in that, they sang this song, and it came to my mind, and I went and got the lyrics. And this pretty much captivates what a shepherd felt. It's cold outside in this God-forsaken place, and we're stuck here with 1,000 sheep. While life is exciting for everybody else, the highlight of our day is sleep. It's lonely out here in this isolated job. Our position is without esteem. We're socially challenged. We are society's scourge. We're not exactly every woman's dream. Shepherds have a humble purpose. Of our fate, few people really care. Sometimes I wonder if God knows we exist. If he does, he has forgotten where. Nothing ever happens to a shepherd. Life's as boring as can be. While exciting things occur all over the world, nothing ever happens to me. Can you imagine the shepherds on that night? When God intentionally chose those shepherds. He intentionally chose those messy, stinky, unclean outsiders with the greatest message of all time. That on this day, this time, a child's going to be born as we read. It was a great message, of great joy to all people. And it came to them. Their life went, can you imagine, their life went from boring to like full tilt right there. Immediately. Their life changed. And in that process, as we see it, their life went from ordinary to extraordinary in a heartbeat. Max Lucado writes An Ordinary Night. He writes it this way. An ordinary night with ordinary sheep and ordinary shepherds. And were it not for a God who loves to hook an extra on the front of the ordinary, the night would have gone unnoticed. The sheep would have been forgotten, and the shepherds would have slept the night away. But God dances among the common, and that night he did a waltz. The black sky exploded with brightness. The night was ordinary no more. Can you imagine those shepherds in that field, probably bedding, thinking, well, it's about time. Let's just pray it goes well. And all of a sudden, the stars and the sky explodes with the heavenly host. I'm sure they probably said, oh, no big deal. This happens all the time. Can you imagine the surprise, the fear that initially may have you know, like looking around, what's going on here? The angel, as they spoke, and then as they sang, praising God, they knew there was a change. And their world went from ordinary that night to extraordinary. Their priorities totally changed. A king was born. It wasn't the way you and I would have planned it, but a king was born. Why these shepherds? Why did God call these shepherds and give the message of the birth announcement to these shepherds? Well, let me tell you, as I was thinking about and preparing for today, we usually don't think of these shepherds, and we don't think of shepherds in a long line. They weren't part of the genealogy of Christ, but let me tell you something. You can go back to the beginning of God's Word, and you see a line through the Word of shepherds, outcasts, people who had failed, who were shepherds, that God used as His messenger. Their life, their mess, and they were a mess, became His messenger, giving His message. You think of Moses. And he was called by God while shepherding Jethro's flock. Remember Moses in the burning bush? Guess what he was doing? Shepherding. Moses, the people of all the failures, yet he's going to lead the people of Israel out of bondage and escape and the exodus that takes place. And yet God calls him in his message and says, no, I want you to do a job for me. I want you to speak for me. Well, I can't speak. I'll get Aaron. And all of a sudden, Moses starts speaking anyway. Shepherding. We know David is King David, don't we? People quickly say, King David was a man after God's own heart. But listen, David was a shepherd boy when God first called him and Samuel anointed him as king over Israel. You can go to Isaiah chapter 40 and you'll find out that he was prophesied that there was a baby who was going to be born. Just a shepherd. Isaiah foretold of this coming Savior, the Messiah, and he would be a shepherd of God's people. We don't think much of that. We think this nice shepherd. But back then, that prophecy, why would God's people want a stinky, smelly outcast? One who was an outsider, but he was going to be the shepherd of God's people. That he would gather his lambs, this Messiah. That he would carry them, he would feed them, and he would lead them. The analogy of Jesus as the good shepherd is replete within all that. Jesus, the good shepherd, he said. In the New Testament, he over and over used that analogy of we, his sheep, and the flock, and him being the good shepherd. This good shepherd who loves his sheep, who cares for them, who knows them, and he walks with them daily. He wasn't the shepherd that said, okay, here's my sheep, take off. Go follow the one guy, go follow the lead sheep, and we'll see you later, I'll come find you later. No, he walked with them daily, that good shepherd that said, I'm going to take care of you, and the priority of I'm going to seek the one that's astray, I'm going to choose and go find that one while leaving the others. The good shepherd. But not only did he call himself the good shepherd, he calls himself the perfect lamb. The perfect lamb of God. There was always the lamb that was used for sacrifice and ceremonial cleansing. It was to that sacrifice that was to be used for that the unblemished lamb. And Jesus said, I'm that lamb. I am the paschal lamb is the word. That perfect sacrifice, that final sacrifice. And this sacrifice takes the weight of sin of the world and places it upon himself. He took your sin and my sin, that lamb that was there on the cross, and that sacrifice was made for you and for me. What's the point? What's the point today? What's the point this morning? Folks, listen, God uses the messy. God uses those who we may think overlooked, we don't see them. But he wants us to be the messengers. Those shepherds were chosen by design. Those messy shepherds were part of a long history and a valuable lesson. God loves and values and uses all people as his messengers. Our mess can become his message of grace and redemption in our life. And our mess in that message, but listen, he gives us that message so that we would be messengers of grace, of love, of hope. You may wonder why at times, I tell you, I challenge our people, every life that walks through that door has a story. If you're our guest today, I pray you felt noticed. I pray you felt loved by the family of God. And if you didn't, then we are at fault. And let me just become the Dutch uncle for a minute, which I don't even know what that means. But let me tell you who are here, who are his voice. If you stand around in your own little group and there's people that come in, if there's people in this crowd right now who are guessing, you don't know them, and you won't get off your blessed assurance to go speak to them, you're at fault. Because every life that comes through should be noticed. Everyone should be saying, you have a purpose for being here. We say it every week. Do you really mean it, that they're not here by mistake? They're here by design, and they may need to speak to you. Your hug, your handshake, your life. God uses you. God uses me. God uses us all to notice those, not just in here, but in the world, that our mess can become His message. But if we're never His messenger, if we never seek to be His messenger, what good does it do? He uses that, and that's the lesson. He uses us. He uses us as messy people as His messenger. It's not about us. Aren't we glad that the message that I've got to give is not about the mess of my life? If you recall last week, we didn't want to hear about your mess. I don't want to glory in my mess. I don't want to glory in that at all. I don't want to glory in how bad you are, how bad you were. I want to glory in the grace of God that changed you and the message of that change. That's the message of our life. God uses us in our mess. Why? Because it's perhaps there's no other way. If it were about us, we'd take glory for it, wouldn't we? Paul used that word again that we're His workmanship. It's not what we do. We have nothing to do with it. It's all about Him. And today as we come, it's all about Him, because that's the glory of God. It's all about Him. And when we see that, all we can say is, when you look at the life, I know some of you very well. Look out upon this crowd. And I know some of the messages you were touched by the grace of God, and your life will change. There's no way in the world that you would say, boy, look what I've done. You'd be saying it's all about the glory of God. It's all about what He's done. And that's where it needs to be. To God be the glory. And listen, folks, today, you may be here feeling like you're the outcast, the outsider, the unknown with no purpose. What could you do for the kingdom of God? And I'm telling you that God, in His wonderful grace, when you came to know Him, He hooked upon the front of your name, extraordinary, not just ordinary. And we need to value all people and love all people in that same way. To value them as God does. See them, that their life has a message. But we need to make sure that message is the message of Jesus that's changed their mess. Let's be His messenger. Let's be His messenger. Are you a shepherd today? Oh, I'm not asking God to watch the sheep. I'm asking about, are you speaking the message that you've given your life? Let's pray. Father God, this morning as we come, I pray that we will leave here challenged. I pray that we will leave here acknowledging that, God, it's about You. God, I pray that our people as a group, as a flock, as this family, that we will see the need to speak of the message that You've given us. God, that we will reach people, that we will, every person we talk to, not only the guests that come here, but those, Father, who are out in our supermarkets and in Target or Walmart, wherever it may be, may our mess be used as Your message, and may we be willing to share the message of You working in us, God's master work, and a work that's not completed, but God, You've done it all. Thank You for this time. I pray we will leave here today challenged to be changed. In Your Son's name.